Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. It may be cold, but we can still have warm fellowship. Warm fellowship that comes from the heart. To launch off the message this morning, I'd like to read a familiar poem. It's one that I'm sure each one here, it's not going to be new words, but I want you to ponder with me these words. One night, I had a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. In each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testing, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I pondered that as we went through the Sunday school this morning. Do you think Paul felt like there was time in his life when the Lord was letting him alone to travel that path? I don't know. But when we come to the center part of our Sunday school and we start talking about how the brethren encouraged him, yeah, Paul wasn't any different than any one of us. You know, he just had come through a time of a shipwreck. When the Lord had spoke to him and said, this is what's going to happen. He had just come through an aspect of when the serpent had come up and fastened on his hand. And he just shook it off. And then after that's when the brethren came and encouraged him. Times of high points in my own life, and I'm sure it's in each one's life, right after them is when the Satan tries so hard. That master deceiver wants to trip you up so bad at that time because you start feeling like you can do it on your own and forgetting to call on the Lord. This morning, I've titled the message, Fellowship with the Father. I don't know why it happens sometimes that the Lord feels like a congregation needs a double dose of a passage. But that's all right. We're going to look at it from maybe a little different aspect, but you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. This morning we are going to do, can we say maybe a little more an expository message on, as we look at John chapter 1 and we want to pull out what John is speaking about here in this passage and try to bring it to us today. Today we too need fellowship with the Father. We too need a relationship with Jesus. So we want to look at some points as we think about, as we go through this passage about fellowship with the Father. John chapter 1. Maybe before we start there, I'm going to just pull a thought from the first verse here. This John that wrote 1 John is the same one that wrote the in John 1, St. John, wrote the Gospel John. And he starts out in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1. Now in 1 John chapter 1, let's read, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. John had a burden for the people. This word, who was the word? Jesus. The word was Jesus. And he's preaching Jesus through his gospels. Let's keep reading. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The first one, as I think, ponder from this passage, fellowship with the Father. I pull it from the, maybe I should back up. The title I pulled from verse 3. Truly our fellowship is with the Father. We need the fellowship with the Father. Now let's go into the first point. Ties right into it. From the first three verses, fellowship with the Father needs to start out with knowing the Father. Knowing the Father. Who is the Father? It's God. Do you know God? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Our minds struggle to grasp that. In the beginning, at the creation of the world, was Jesus. And the Word, Jesus was with God in the beginning. And Jesus was God. Do you know that Jesus that John is talking about here? John is saying in these verses here, that this word, he's handled it. He knows Jesus because he was there. He walked with Jesus. He touched him. He heard him talk. He saw his miracles. No, today, we don't have Jesus in bodily form that we can reach out and touch him. But do you know the Father? Do you know the Jesus that you're serving? John is saying here, he's been an eyewitness, and this is his testimony, that he can give you eternal life. The second point, pulled from verse 3. Fellowship with the Father will inspire us to reach out and desire others to fellowship with us in him. Declaring it unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. Do you enjoy your church group? Do you enjoy the body of believers pulled together? Or do you somehow shut out your brethren and sisters? Fellowship with like believers, fellowship with believers of like precious faith, should inspire us. And we should inspire them. It deepens your walk with God, or does it? You see, what are you visiting about? What are you sharing about with one another? Are we doing the encouragement that the brethren did to Paul? Are you thankful to be part of a fellowship that worships the Father together? Are you happy to be part of a fellowship that will pull together when the burdens come? Song that came to my mind. I looked it up. I didn't know I had the words. And I noticed that there's some more words there that I didn't know. Went with the song in the original writing, but I believe the Nunzwunders maybe sing it. It goes this way. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. That's the chorus. It goes, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. The second verse. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. How is your relationship with your brother and sisters in the church? How is it? Fellowship with the Father will have a blessed experience of joining together as a brotherhood. All right, the third point. Fellowship with the Father. Let's go to verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Fellowship with the Father brings fullness of joy. It doesn't mean that it's got to be on your face and you always got to walk around with this big smile on your face. I do believe that'll help. I do believe that there'll be an aspect that you'll desire to do that. You'll be joyous and it'll show forth. But we're not talking about this fullness of joy that is on an outside appearance. No, I believe the fullness of joy is deep in your heart. Fellowship with the Father because you know you're right with Him. You know you're in right standing with Him. I believe that's what John's saying here. John's writing about Jesus that your joy may be full. Have Jesus. He'll make you have something to be happy about. Humans today desire for happiness. They push for that. If I can just go do the next fun thing, I'll be happy. No, I don't believe that's what this is talking about. This joy doesn't matter what happens to your life. Doesn't matter what for shipwreck you're in. Jesus, God is there with you. So as believers, if you are believing in Jesus and His leading in your life, you can have fullness of joy. I'm going to turn back to John 15, verse 11. Forgot that I was going to type this out in my notes, but I'll just read it quick. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's John speaking in both passages. And he's saying, he's speaking, he's preaching, he's teaching. Brothers and sisters, he's talking about Jesus so your joy might be full. So the question is, do you, do I have the joy of the Lord in our lives? If we don't, what's the problem? We do good to look at our lives. What's the problem? I didn't put those in my notes because I was going to turn back there myself and just read a couple more verses. Hindrances to fullness of joy. I'm going to read verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Lack of dedication will take care of your joy. If you don't have the fellowship with the Father as you ought to, maybe you're not dedicated to serving Him as you ought to be. Check your life. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. Hindrances to joy. We're not letting the fruit grow. Or we could read on from verse 12 to 17, and it says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Christian love. Maybe there's some bitterness, some hatred, some enmity in your life that's hindering your joy. Search your life. Fellowship with the Father brings fullness of joy. Am I happy in the Lord? Am I rejoicing in the Lord today? The fourth point. From John, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. Light and darkness. Think with me of verse 5 here. We have Jesus, He's light. Fellowship with the Father, and He's bringing light. My fourth point is, fellowship with the Father will inspire us to live in His light. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness. There's no room. In your fellowship with the Father, there's no room for any dark places in your life. There is no room for any hidden places. It's all open to Him. We had I don't know how to bring this into this point, but I pondered about Jesus and being light. Oftentimes in serving Jesus, sometimes we like to pull out the areas we like to. And we want Him to light up some areas of our life, and then the next place we want to hide it dark. Because we don't want anybody to see it. Shame on us. But that's our human nature. Nobody else needs to know. And I want to bring in here that we need all of Jesus to go to every corner of our life. Example I want to bring in. Yesterday, there was a need for a battery for the scales for weighing out the apples. We have a bin in our house, in our closet there, that's to store new batteries. Somewhere along the line, we had some flashlights that didn't work, some cheap ones. And they got pulled apart and put in this battery container. And so we're searching for this battery. We're searching for this battery yesterday. And finally I dumped all the old flashlights out that were all tore apart. And me and my wife talked about it. We said, we might as well throw them away. They're not doing any good. But the aspect I want us to think about is, they were all flashlight parts. They all, at some point, was a part of making light. Today, in our spiritual lives, do we take everything of Jesus to make light in our lives? Or do we let some parts Yes, maybe it is a part of Jesus' light, but we don't use it for what it's for. We don't let it bear fruit in our lives. We somehow think that there's an area that we can maintain darkness and do it our way, instead of putting the light flashlight together as it ought to. Verse 5 here is talking about Jesus is a sure thing. He is light. You can't take Him apart. You can't take the light away from Him and throw it away without consequences. Because in God is light and there's no darkness. There's no aspect of Him that's going to be dark and doesn't produce light. Is Jesus producing light in your life? That's the question we want to come to. Fellowship with the Father should inspire and will inspire you to live a life that's in His light. In other words, it's bright and open, and the world's going to see that. This light is talked all the rest of the way down through here. As we think about this light, there's one aspect I want to pull out, and as we look at from verse 6 to verse 10. Verse 6 starts out, if. Verse 7 starts out, but if. 8, 9, and 10 start out, if. I went and looked up that Greek word in that. And I won't try to say it, but the Greek word is E-A-N. Or in other words, it's uncertainty. Kind of more stands for the aspect of uncertainty. Other times the word if is used in the Bible as a Greek word that's E-I. And it speaks with more certainty. In other words, we can know. In other words, if you do this, this will happen. So we have if. Maybe more of an uncertain. Not that the truth is uncertain. That's not what I'm getting at here. What I want to bring in this word if, as we think about light, do you know if you have light? Do you know if this room is light? We say, yeah. But you see, I see the corners back there just a little darker. In my own life, is there any uncertainty in your life about the light of Jesus in your life? If there is, go search it out. Because fellowship with the Father should inspire you to search that out and to want a full, open, and bright life. All right, let's move on. The fifth point. Fellowship with the Father calls for a walk in forgiveness of sins. We see that in verse 5 through 10. It was touched on a little this morning already, but life, light and darkness don't blend. We talked about that in verse 5. So verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, the goal is to live in that light that it's talking about there. To walk in that light. Jesus will forgive your sins. We try hard to live free of sin. We try hard to walk in our own strength and with God's help in the forgiveness of sins. But verse 8. Maybe we fall into this trap. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Brothers and sisters, it takes a daily dying to self. A daily forgiveness of our sins. No, it doesn't mean that we do great sins that we have to forgive and come to the church and ask forgiveness for. But finally, there's little things in your life. When you prayed, you asked God to forgive you if you failed. And if you can remember areas where you have failed, mention them. Too often times we fall short of the goal and we somehow think it's just okay. No, it isn't. Fall in forgiveness again. We are sinners. We have the sin nature in us, and the devil is trying to capitalize on it and to win in that, in our battle against him. And if he can get but one spot in our lives, one little area, and let it grow, it'll fester, it'll grow out of proportion. And it grows fast. Whereas when we confess it to God, call it what it is, call it sin, ask for forgiveness, strive with His help to live above it, He can help us through it. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a part needed. I believe John knew that we can't always just say, well, it's covered. I went in my closet and I prayed to the Lord and it's covered. Confession. Confession is part of cleansing. Cleansing from your sin. Is that a daily experience for you? Yes, we need to confess it to God. But have you confessed it to a brother? If you want total victory, you're going to live in that light and you're going to want to get victory over whatever it is. And sometimes it takes this confession to the brotherhood. To a brother. This is where I'm at. And he needs to take you to this. If you've confessed it, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Wash it away with confession and don't bring it up again. Don't let it have any root in your life. Let's go into John chapter 2. I pondered about in John chapter 1 how to bring in. If you start looking at that passage and I couldn't get any inspiration, and maybe somebody can help me to realize why John said in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And he turns around in verse 10 and says the same thing. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And His word is not in us. It's much the same thing. God's truth and God's word. It's maybe somebody can help me understand some of that. Why he said it twice, or was it just a burden that John had? That somehow we recognize that we're sinners, the need of forgiveness. All right, let's go to the next point. Sixth point, John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I felt like I couldn't stop at just chapter 1 and explaining. Because we're sinners. And we need what's in John chapter 2. So the point I have, fellowship with the Father calls for an advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What is an advocate? I know you probably say, well, we know what it is. One to intercede for us. You see, we're sinners. We can't approach God in heaven. Who is our advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous. He was the man that came and died on that cross. He walked in this earth sinless. Perfect man, and he died on that cross. Not because of his sins, but for mine and for yours. Fellowship with the Father calls for an advocate. Calls for somebody to connect sinners with a holy God. Today we dwell in our humanity. God is in heaven. But thankfully His Spirit is here with us today. It's not brought out in this verse, I don't believe. But He can live with us. Why? Because Jesus came. So we can be washed clean. And when we're clean, He will leave us in bodily. His bodily form will leave us. And His Spirit will come and fill us. But we need a go-between. The Spirit don't come without Jesus first being in our lives and cleansing us. The Spirit couldn't come until we had the blood shed on Calvary. The Advocate, Jesus, He's the go-between. He knows our trials and our struggles we go through. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That perfect Jesus. That's there interceding on behalf of our struggles. I pondered this as I think of the interceding of Jesus. And it came, as I pondered and studied for this, it became a new thought to me. That I don't believe Jesus is just interceding for our past failures, sins. And this thought came to me because I've been reading in Job and about his, when Satan came before God and hast thou considered my servant Job? I believe that's part of our hedge about us today as Christians. Jesus is interceding on your struggles. This brother, this sister, don't overload them more than what they can bear. But He's also willing that we have struggles so that He can lead us in life. It's part of that bigger picture that He's working at painting out in our lives. And are we open to it? All right, let's go to the second verse here. Calls for an advocate, and it also called for an atoning sacrifice, the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice. We talked about this some, how Jesus needed to be that sacrifice. He finished His work on the cross, and He washes away sin. Fellowship with the Father will have our sins washed away. We'll have our sins washed away. I trust every sin is clear in our lives. I trust that we're striving for that. But it don't stop there in this passage, John chapter 2. John goes on in his writing. So we have Jesus as an advocate for us, and He's that propitiation. He's paid the price for our sins. Once we're saved, once He's washed away our sins, we're good to go. We'll fellowship with Him from now on. No. The world, there's people that feel that once saved, always saved. And it's false. John goes on in his teaching here, and there's other passages that we could go to bring this out, but the final and last point I have. Fellowship with the Father comes with commands. Comes with commands. Let's read verse 3 to verse 8. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Fellowship with the Father comes with command. We receive instructions from our Father. His law has commandments for us today. And as we read His law, we'll take His commandments and apply them to our lives. How are you following commandments? You see, how we follow commandments ties in with what it says in verse 10 of chapter 1. We see the word liar again. Verse 4, I know Him and keep... He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar. So it's one way that we can do... We say we haven't sinned. And it says we make Him a liar. Why? Because we don't keep what He has asked us to. His commandments. Going through the decrees again. I don't like to always go back to that, but I just ponder it. As we think of the verses and the principles that come out. Or you go through instruction class with a group of applicants and the truths of God's Word. Brothers and sisters, the commands of God is truth. The principles are there. We need to apply it to today. Sidestepping it from it. We start to make God a liar. Fellowship with the Father comes with commandments that need to be obeyed. We're also told in verse 6, He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. The commandment is walk in this life as Jesus did. Commandment that we need to obey today. Verse 7 then it goes into, But an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. John is saying what I told you before, the message on the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's an old commandment, yet it's new. Yet it's new. What is the new part of it? Love. Love. Love for our brother. Love in everything that we do in life. The darkness is past. Old things are passed away. All things become new. It may be old, yet it is new today. few questions in closing. Today, are you having fellowship with the Father as you ought to? Is Jesus close to you as he ought to be? In your devotional life, in your prayer life, in fellowship with the brothers in the church. There's times in my life when you have to hang your head in shame. Maybe it's just me, but there's times when we can do better. Maybe it's failures in our lives where we didn't recognize it for the sin it was and didn't turn away from it as we ought to. Spiritual life is one of the first things to go, though. A spiritual cooling off is one of the first things that usually happens. So today, what is your fellowship like with the Father? And are you having fellowship with the Father? If not, what is hindering you? What is hindering you from fellowship with the Father? What is standing in the way? Is it a command that I don't want to submit myself to? Is it not realizing who Jesus is, who the Father is that we need? May we be inspired to live in His light and to live life in service for Him. I planned on reading that poem, Footprints in the Sand, after the message, but I read it before. Ponder that. Jesus is walking with you as you go through life. If you open your life up to Him, you can have that fellowship with Him. Let us kneel for prayer.